Their first indication that all was not well was a burst of gunfire.
Shit!
Everybody, blasters out!
The horses barely reacted. The animals had proved themselves calm to the point of stupidity under fire. It came in quite handy. Jack was keeping their progress steady, giving those in the back the chance to find their feet and grab their weapons. With the wag sideways on to the direction from which the burst had come, they lined up behind the shelter of the vehicle, just as they had when the mystery rider had skirted them. There was no other cover in this barren landscape.
What do you reckon?
JB scanned the land between the wag and the horizon. Only the first few buildings on the edge of Station Brownsville broke the unrelenting flatness.
It didn't sound like serious ordnance or rip up much dirt. It had to have come from someplace between here and the buildings, some kind of hide or shelter. No way something that weak got that distance otherwise.
Jack had been scanning the ground ahead of him, ignoring the conversation beside him. If there was anywhere their opponents could hide, then he was determined to spot it. With no cover, it had to be some kind of a dugout. Even the best-made hide would show somewhere against such a featureless surface. It wasn't well-made, and it didn't take Jack long to locate it.
Ryan, there. 40 degrees.
Jack directed Ryan's gaze along a line prescribed by his bony white finger. Ryan followed it and saw it immediately. There, to the side of a cactus, was a hole with a built-up ledge covered with canvas. Just enough of a slit between dirt and canvas to see out of, to direct a weapon.
Mildred, just frighten the fucker out.
My pleasure.
Mildred's checkmate ZKR was a specialist target pistol, and she had once been a specialist target shooter. For her, this was simple. The three shots made short work of the cover. The supports flew off to the sides, and the hide closed up.
Now we know where you are, and you know where we are. We could have taken you out, but we didn't want to. You come out, we won't shoot. We aren't your enemy, but we might know who is. We're chasing a cold heart with a freaky motorcycle.
Oh, that fucker! All right, I'll trust you because I'm pinned. Don't let me down.
The woman was an unlikely sniper. Dressed in a dirty camisole top, shorts, and combat boots, long blonde hair tied back, the large, busted, and curvy young woman looked more like a gaudy slut who'd been given a weapon and thrown into the wrong job.
I'm holstering my weapon and coming out.
As Ryan walked out into the open, the woman walked out to meet him.
I'm Ryan. And you are?
Name's Anita. Long time since I hefted a blaster. More used to handling other kinds of weapons. But I figure we need all the skills we can get after what happened.
Which was?
Bastard you described fucked us up is what happened.
He attacked your ville?
Attacked it? He fucking flattened it. So what do you know about him?
He passed us as we were traveling, but didn't do anything. But the next ville we came to had just been attacked by the same man.
So he's just going around fucking shit up?
Seems like it, yeah. Come on. Meet my companions. You can ride back into your ville with us.
Well, I should be glad we aren't the only ones. But then I wouldn't wish that asshole on anyone. So I guess you better come back with me. See if maybe you can find out something else that would help.
You think there could be something?
Don't know. Can't hurt to ask. Besides which, we're pretty much on top of clearing up now. Weird fucker thought all us girls were prisoners. Didn't touch any of us. Just chilled all the men and blew up a lot of shit.
That sounds about right from what we saw in the last ville. This is Anita. She's from Station Browns. We're too late. He's already been here.
This is truly a villain of the highest order.
Where'd you learn to shoot?
My daddy.
He was a good shot?
Fucker wanted me to be mommy to my own little sister. Would have been if he'd got his hands on me. Sweetest shot I ever made. Right through the bastard's dick.
Fair enough. Hop on.
Doc took the reins and drove the wag into the ville. Anita sitting beside him to indicate that all was well. They made the short journey in silence, the friends gleaning what they could from the view out the back of the canvas wag cover. There wasn't much to see that wasn't familiar to them. Station Brownsville was almost too small to have a center as such. It had a few buildings that radiated from the hub, which was a cluster of about 5 buildings. It was difficult to tell, as they hadn't been well constructed, and the writer's ordnance had wreaked more havoc here than the ville they had recently left. The villa looked fine from a distance, no smoking wreckage, but now they could see why. Any fires had long ago burned themselves out. The flattened center section of the ville was nothing more than rubble and corpses. Some of the gaudy sluts, incongruously still dressed for trade, were working to clear the corpses.
How many of you are left, my dear?
No more than 15. All women and girls. Every male, young or old, is chilled. Criminax, or something. That was what he called them.
Criminals, my dear. An old word with no real meaning now.
Yeah, well, figure it must have meant something. If it makes him chill all our menfolk. That what he did where you come from?
Almost. A larger population, perhaps not enough time for him. We must find out all we can, I think, and quickly. I shudder to think of the state of the other two bills.
Chances were, on this evidence, that the Cold Heart writer had already paid them a visit.
This is as good a place to stop as any. Thanks. Hey, everybody! These guys are just passing through. They've heard of the fucker that blew us to shit.
How do you know him?
He attacked a vill nearby in much the same way. And we've agreed to find him and chill him. We're looking for a little more information about what happened here. Can you help us?
Yeah, I can tell you. Man rode in, talking in some weird way about evil and justice. Then he just started shooting up the place. But he didn't fire at any women. Just some men.
Yeah, he said we were innocents. That he was here to free us from our bondage. What the fuck was he talking about?
The man is clearly mad, and his motives are clear only to him. I am sorry to see that your vill had the misfortune to be in the path of his swath of destruction.
Yeah, well, a whole lot of good pity does us. The best thing you can do for us is chill that fucker. But chill him slow.
It was with sinking hearts that they made the slow trek across the wastes to their next destination. This vill had been completely wiped out. There were no survivors.
Damn. This guy's got some serious issues.
I'll say. You think the same thing happened? Man comes to town, town insults him, man leaves town in ruins?
A truly tragic variation of the tale.
He attacked this vill between the other two. The bodies aren't as decomposed as the last.
Also, none of that napalm. Think he ran out?
Maybe he just felt a little cheeky that one time.
Seems like he picks different weapons for each stop. Also, since this villa's between the others, he's not working in an arc. That, combined with the different weapons used each time, makes me think he's just heading out and back each time.
Well, that's good. Let's see if there's any more evidence at the next vill.
Ugh! Hey, Nadia, can you give me a hand here?
Yeah, I got you, Ashley. You want to push this over?
No, I just felt like throwing out my back. Yes, damn it, help me flip this thing. Oh, man, here's some more bodies. Ooh, these fuckers are ripe.
Oh, Ashley.
Hey, what happened here?
We got fucked is what happened.
Hey, don't shoot us.
Easy, we're not gonna hurt you.
These blasters are just for self-defense. We've been going to nearby vills, and they've all been reduced to rubble like yours here. Was there a man on a motorcycle involved in this?
Yeah, that bastard just showed up, blasted the place to shit, took out a couple of buildings, and then gave some triple stoop speech about freeing us from bondage or some crap.
You remember what kind of blasters the guy had?
Honestly, Nadia and I hid behind a desk as soon as we heard shooting. But from the sound of it and the bullet holes left behind, he had some big blaster. Damn near took people's heads off. He shot some big-ass explosive right in front of the Gaudy house. And when he came in, he had an assault rifle.
You remember what kind?
The kind that blew our vill to shit.
Right.
Thanks for your help, miss.
You going after him?
We're aiming to.
Well, you best get something better than that beat-up old wagon. Crazy bastard will wipe you out right quick.
We'll keep that in mind.
Didn't learn anything helpful.
On the contrary, dear boy. I would say that we have something that John Barrymore could work with.
In a way. So, if he starts from one point and attacks them, but not in any order of progression, then if we drew a line from the vills, we might get a central point, but only if the four vills form enough of an angle.
You get on that. It might not be exact, but it would give us an area to start looking. It's better than where we are now.
Maybe. But you figured how big that area could be?
That's about all we got right now.
Huh. If we head the right direction, I figure Scum look for us. He knows where we are.
You think so?
I agree. I don't know where he's hiding out there with no cover, but he's been watching us all the while. I can feel it.
Right. Let him bring it on, then. We plot a rough course, and we start out first thing. If that's how it's gonna be, Let's draw the bastard out.
I am on a line going 33 by 17. The fourth quadrant. They are at rest for the evening, operating a watch rotation system. They seem to be very lightly armed, which has surprised me given their reputation. However, I shall still use long-distance search and recover tactics and take no chances. I will report in again after operations commence, which should be at 0400 by my chronometer. I see them via my long-range infrared scope. The small albino and famed armorer on watch. The others are asleep, clustered around the fire. The woman is embraced by the one-eyed man. No matter. The plan will continue. Activating directional mic. The old one snores. The albino is silent and very much aware of his surroundings. The armorer seems similarly ready. So, two on watch, the others sleeping. Reflex times will be reduced. They will know before the strike hits. Even the stealthiest of my weapons will be detected upon the first shot. So I must simply get it right the first time. I'm glad I took such care in the selection of my weapons.
Thunder Rider reached down toward his powerful bike and opened one of the modular pods resting on its frame. A series of small polycarbon rods rested inside. They fit together to form a barrel of variable length. There were overlapping supporting rods to reinforce the barrel when assembled. A small electronic-sighted laser target finder sat within a soft protective base, ready to be switched on and attached. The battery unit powering the target finder had a half-life of 500 years. A triggering mechanism was also comfortably fitted into the pod, ready to be attached and deployed. Most important of all were the small black eggs that sat in a line, snugly arrayed in a rack fitted into soft material. From the computer files back at the base, he knew that these had been derived from a prototype that had never been called into commission. The design had been perfect, but the cost had been deemed prohibitive. Dismounting, Thunder Rider began the arduous process of assembling the high-tech weapon.
The plan, for the record, is as follows. The red-headed woman will be taken. This experimental weapon will be used to prevent any resistance and will also provide an opportunity for diplomacy. I will show the woman the base and support systems and discuss the mission's philosophy. She will then assist me in converting the others to my cause. I am pleased by the performance of the recon equipment so far. This is the first time I have had the opportunity to use them in an operational capacity, and they have served me well. The combination of the night scope, digital imager, and telescopic directional mic has allowed me the luxury of long-range surveillance. I feel I have a basic understanding of the group's dynamic. It is unfortunate that they seem to be outwardly hostile to me and my cause. Despite this, I am sure, once properly explained, that they will join me in my mission. The effects of the gas will last several hours, if the reports are to be believed. This is more than enough time to disassemble the weapon, take the bike across the desert surface, check their status, and take the redhead. There will be no need for hurry. The wireless unit will feed exact coordinates into the directional unit, ensuring an optimal deployment area. There.
He nestled the weapon into the hollow of his shoulder, setting himself, then put the eyepiece of the directional unit to his goggles. An infrared grid, switching automatically as it read the light levels, showed him the campfire and those gathered around it. On the periphery of the scope's vision, he could see the armorer and the albino pursuing their separate circuits. It was surprising how clustered together they were, really. The range of the gas, once the egg had burst, was such that it would touch them easily. Flickering figures in one corner of the eyepiece recorded time and distance. Coordinates appeared, and it told him how long it would take for the grenade to reach the target area once fired. He set the crosshairs to one side of the campfire. For want of anything else, it seemed an obvious target point.
I am activating the haptic recorder. As this is the first time using this weapon, I wish to learn as much as possible. Please reference this point in the time code for future replay. The papers did not report of the weapon having such force. A direct hit. Good. It is all going to plan.
Something in the fire caught Jack's eye. He turned and looked toward it. A small red dot on the sandy soil, almost invisible in the glow of the fire, just to one side of it.
KB, look! Incoming! Everyone!
What? What's going on?
Red dot, by the fire!
Shit, Pathfinder! Everybody get up now! Wake up!
What's going on?
We under attack!
Everybody, take cover!
An object landed right at the base of their fire, and a puff of smoke issued forth. It started to spread and dissipate around them.
It's gas! Everybody, run!
Shit!
There's nothing for you to fear, Christy Roth. Yes, I know your name. I know who you are. I know who your companions are. I have a mission for you. One that I think I share with all of you. But I am only just come into this world and so have no alliances. I want you to become one of those alliances that I seek. But I would understand your mistrust. The weeds of crime and injustice grow rank on the surface of this world. Their fruits are bitter for those who taste them. Together, you and I, and those who are your fellow travelers, could make a difference. But I know that you would not trust me without proof. And I know that you would not give me the chance to prove myself of your own free will. I understand this. So I have been forced to adopt measures that may seem to you villainous. For this, I can only apologize and hope that you will soon come to understand the reasons for my actions.
People, I regret the measures that I have had to take, and I apologize for the seeming abduction of your companion. I realize that this may seem to be an act of hostility, but I hope that in the long term you will understand my reasons for acting as I have, and will realize their necessity, if my aims and plans are to be implemented swiftly. Although you are all currently immobilized, the effects will begin to wear off after a maximum of 3 hours. By this time, I will be too far away for you to trail me. Rest assured that I will contact you when I and Christy are ready. You will experience no ill effects from the gas and will be able to move and act normally within a very short while. I will leave you now. Christy is in no danger, nor are you. I hope, I say again, that you will understand shortly why this was necessary.